Hey everybody, welcome back to Explain Like I'm 5, the podcast where we take the questions you always wanted to ask and talk about them in a way that's easy to understand. We are your hosts, I'm Tim.
And I'm Kevin.
So Kevin, the other week we covered airport taxiways and runways, and at the end of it we talked about this thing called the NATO phonetic alphabet, things like Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta. And we had some listeners write in asking a little bit more about it. So we thought we'd do a whole episode on the NATO phonetic alphabet today. Let's dive into a little bit of the history and the origin of this alphabet.
Sure. It's a pretty fun topic. The NATO phonetic alphabet, also known as the International Radio Telephony Spelling Alphabet, which is a mouthful, it was developed all the way back in the 1950s by the International Civil Aviation Organization to ensure clear and concise communication over radio and telephone lines. And it was later adopted by NATO and has since become the standard phonetic alphabet for the military, for aviation, for emergency services, and many other important industries worldwide.
Does it actually improve communication?
So the NATO phonetic alphabet, it is designed to eliminate confusion and any misunderstandings that can occur when you're communicating letters and numbers. You know, for example, the letters B, D, E, P, T, V, Z, they can actually sound pretty similar when spoken, especially over some poor quality radio or telephone lines. And by assigning a distinct word to each letter, such as Bravo for B and Delta for D, the NATO phonetic alphabet ensures that each letter is clearly understood, regardless of the quality of the communication line or the speaker's accent.
So why were specific words chosen for each letter? How did they come up with that?
Yeah, the words were chosen based on quite a number of factors, including their distinctiveness, their ease of pronunciation and recognition, and their resistance to mishearing. You know, a lot of extensive testing was done with speakers of many different languages to ensure that the words chosen would be understood as clearly as possible by as many people as possible.
Were there alternative phonetic alphabets?
There are some other phonetic alphabets, but the NATO phonetic alphabet is the most widely used. So some other phonetic alphabets, such as the International Phonetic Alphabet used by linguists, are designed to represent the sounds of spoken languages, while the NATO phonetic alphabet is designed specifically for clear and unambiguous communication of letters and numbers.
So has the NATO phonetic alphabet evolved over time? Has it changed?
You know, it's remained largely unchanged since its creation in the 1950s. However, there have been some minor changes and updates over the years to improve its effectiveness and clarity. For example, the word for the letter U was originally uncle, but it was changed to uniform to avoid confusion with the word nuncle, which is used in some dialects of English.
Oh, that's an interesting tidbit. And the alphabet doesn't change across different cultures and languages, does it?
The NATO phonetic alphabet is a fascinating example of how language can be standardized and adapted for certain specific purposes. So despite its military origins, it has found widespread use in many different industries and contexts.
So finally, it has a few quirks. The letter Q is for the Canadian state of Quebec, right?
That's true. That is right. But it's actually pronounced slightly differently. It's Quebec. In the correct military use of the NATO phonetic alphabet.
And why is the letter X not just X?
Again, for clarity, in this case, it's X-ray.
And finally, why in the NATO phonetic alphabet do you pronounce the number 9 as niner rather than saying just 9?
So that's to avoid confusion with saying 5. You know, when you try reading long strings of numbers over a dodgy radio and then have someone else try to copy that down, saying niner makes it way easier to comprehend on the other end. And also in German, 9 is no. So if you can make the digits sound different from a common word used by one of your co-members, it's probably going to be more useful.
Interesting. Did you learn something new? If you did, send us an email. We are at eli5thepodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, especially when you've got comments and suggestions for us. If you are a regular listener of this podcast, please do take the time to leave us a rating and a review on Apple iTunes or follow us on Spotify. It only takes a minute and it does help other people to then discover this podcast, which we really appreciate. As always, thanks to the community at r/explainlikeim5, and we will see you all next week. We'd like to make sure our listeners know about The Kevin Rose Show, a podcast that we are both huge fans of.
The Kevin Rose Show offers a unique blend of some pretty non-conventional wisdom, some tactical life and health hacks, some finance tips, and even a bunch of entrepreneurial advice.
Some of you may know Kevin Rose as the entrepreneur who founded Digg, but what I love about Kevin is that he is always predicting the future.
Man, he was already talking about Bitcoin way back in 2011, 2012.
Kevin has had some great guests on his show, like Andrew Huberman, Chris Dixon, Elon Musk, Tony Robbins, Chris Voss, and Tim Ferriss.
He even had the Wealthfront founder, Andy Ratcliffe, on the show. And I know a lot of Eli 5 listeners are really interested in investing and economics.
And then there's a recent episode with Casey Means on metabolism that is a must listen.
So go check it out, and you'll see why we're both such huge fans. Search The Kevin Rose Show on your favorite podcast app.